Everyone, we have a wonderful lesson coming to us on this rainy and stormy day. At first, I was thinking maybe I should adjust the title of the scripture for today's lesson to go with the storm and the different things that are going on around us. But actually, there's no need to do that because the things that we learn today in this section of scripture are fitting for any time and are a wonderful, wonderful gift from God to us to remind us of who we are. And the reason that we're here in this world and in the midst of not only the storm weather-wise, but also of the sicknesses that we have around us, of the threat of war and the chaos that is going on throughout the world, indeed in our own country, dealing with racism and violence and things like this, it is so important for us as children of God to remain faithful, just as Paul taught Timothy. Right? To be faithful in all circumstances, to fight the good fight for faith in Jesus Christ and to remain strong in that kind of a way and charging him to do it. And so actually Joshua, this great man of God, is giving us a charge as well and a great example today in the book of Joshua that really are words from God to us through Joshua. You remember that Joshua was known, in, especially in this book, for the words, be strong and courageous. Remember those, they're over and over again in the beginning of Joshua, we hear, be strong and courageous. He's going to be leading them into the promised land, crossing the Jordan River, bringing them there into the land that God had prepared for the people of Israel for so many years, right? And he was given this command by God, be strong and courageous. And so he was, and he lived this life. You also remember that he was the one that led the people into the promised land. Not Moses, because Moses had disappointed God and had fallen short of what God had commanded him to do. And so he was not given that honor of bringing the people into the promised land. So Joshua was the man who was chosen by God to replace Moses for that purpose. And now when we meet him, we're at the end of his life and he is preparing the people after leading them through all of the things that they endured and actually the victories as well that God gave to them in the promised land, that he's coming to the end of his life and he is admonishing them and charging them and bringing this word to them that they should remain in God and that they should serve him only. And so it says at the beginning of the scripture there that Joshua had gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, which was the main place that they gathered, and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God, right? And then he goes on from that point. We don't have time to read through the entire chapter, but he goes through the entire history of how God had brought them through all kinds of adversity, starting with Abraham, right? And listing all of these great men of God that God had used to bring the people to the land that he was leading them to the promised land, and that he had led them out of slavery, that he had led them out of slavery, that he had led them out of bondage, right? And time and again, he had come through for the people of Israel and proved to them that he was their God. Really a tremendous word of grace, how God had shown grace to them time and time again, despite their sins. Right? Despite the fact that they had fallen short of the glory of God, he rewarded them and gave them so much for them to be thankful for. And he reminded them of all these things. And so we're going to take a look at the verses that follow that section that we heard today and ask God to bless us in our church to see how that applies to us. Okay, so we're going to begin. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can turn to chapter 24, verse 14. And just as Sally had read, we'll begin with the words, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Okay, so the words therefore, now therefore, come as a result of them hearing about the grace of God in their lives. Okay, follow me there. They've just heard about how God, through their history there, from the time that they crossed over into the promised land, that he was faithful to them. And so because of this grace, And he's recounting that to them. He encourages them and says, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. And so we have these three things that are introduced to us, right? Fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. And so we meet this word to serve God. And it begins with fearing him. But it must be sincere. It must be sincere in our serving and in faithfulness. We must be faithful to God because he has been faithful to us. What is the sign that we fear the Lord and serve him in all sincerity and faithfulness? Well, he writes that after that, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Put away the gods. Have nothing to do with other gods and concentrate your lives only on serving the Lord God, who full of grace has preserved your lives and given you a future. These are wonderful words to take to heart today to begin with, everyone. To fear the Lord, to have all before God, right? To serve him in sincerity from the heart and in faithfulness with a resolve, just like Paul was teaching Timothy. Paul had that same resolve. He had that persevering spirit to be faithful to God. Why? Because he knew that his life was saved by Jesus Christ, who was filled with grace and showed that grace by dying on the cross and being raised from the dead and ascending into heaven, coming again to bring all who believe in him to live with him in eternity. Right? And so Paul knew well that Jesus had shown him grace as well, and that therefore that was his motivation in life for fearing the Lord, not caving in when temptation came to go away from God and say, I am going to stay with Jesus Christ because I know he's the only way. And so the people of God at this point are being taught this about the Lord God who had saved them from Egypt, from slavery, and brought them into freedom. Right? We go to the next part of that same verse. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. So they are to serve God. What does the word serve mean? It means to work, right? It means to work for the Lord. It also has an aspect to it that means to worship God. And so this word serve is to worship God. And we know from Romans, the way Paul has described what true worship is, it's from the heart. It's with our whole being. It's every part of us. It isn't just with our mouths. It isn't just by bringing a sacrifice. It is by having a life that is consumed with wanting God and God alone. And so these are the things that they were told at first. We move on to the second point. And in verse 15, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So let's take a look at the beginning of this section of this verse 15. If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, right? Bob Dylan wrote a song when he came to faith in Jesus Christ, a very, very powerful song that said, you have to serve somebody. He said, it might be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you have to serve somebody. And that song always stayed with me as a reference to this verse here, to say that God, that Joshua is coming to the people there and saying for God, if you don't choose the Lord, then you have to make a choice of who it is that you're going to serve. Are you going to serve all of these gods that were made by the hands of man? Are you going to serve worthless gods, right, that have no power at all in comparison to God, the Lord God? Right? He says, then make a choice. And I believe when he's saying these words, he's not saying you can make a choice, although that is true, they could make a choice. But in these words, he is saying to them, you are going to have to make a choice. And if you choose these gods that are false, it is going to lead to your demise. It is going to lead to your destruction because those gods have no power at all. And why would you want to in the first place when God has been so good to you and shown himself as being faithful, full of grace, saving you from slavery and bringing you into freedom, calling you his own people? Right? So he's saying, though, and he introduces this, choose this day whom you will serve. And we're going to get to this point, to this point, and come back to it in just a moment. But let's go on to what Joshua says. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so he says, you can choose other gods if you like. You can choose that road to destruction, but my choice is the Lord because of his grace and his faithfulness to me. He knows what he's talking about. If we turn to Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, it says this, and now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Joshua is saying he's about to die. And you know that not one word has failed of all the good things that God promised concerning you. Not one of them has failed. He knows what he's talking about. He has full assurance. He's not just blindly saying, I'm going to serve God and me and my house. We will serve the Lord. He is basing it on the faithfulness and of the experiencing of God and his faithfulness in his life. Not one of the things that God had promised to the people of Israel failed. And that was deep within his heart. It was based on truth. It was based on fact. He saw it. He lived it. And he knew that. And so he said, I believe in God, the Lord God, and I am going to serve him and my entire household as well. Right? There's also an aspect of Joshua that is important here, that he saw what happened to Moses when he did not fulfill the law of God, when he sinned against God. Right. And what God did in that kind of an instance, he judged Moses. And the result of that was this horrible thing for Moses to have taken the people of Israel so far and not to be allowed to bring them into the promised land. And so Joshua was there and had witnessed that, and he knew it to be the truth as well. Right. That there is a judgment, that there are things that we need to be faithful in. And he saw the error of Moses, and he learned from it. And we must also learn from the mistakes that we see in life and not just say, okay, well, we're going to be going the same route and that's the way it is. No, we take note of these things. We learn from these things, and we learn from the example of Moses, just like Joshua. And we say, we need to be faithful to God in all things. We can see how terribly wrong and how bad it can become. Right? And so we want to be just like Joshua doing that. He made his choice based on the record of faithfulness in his Lord God. Right? And so he saw that and he lived that. And so what do we see next? What do we see next? The people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites, who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And so the people responded, we will serve God. We've been listening to you as you've been recounting this to us, Joshua. We heard what you said, and we remember how God has been faithful to us, and he has shown that in all these different instances that they listed there in response to Joshua. And so they said, he is our God. We will serve the Lord. He is our God. Very strong words from the people there. Amazing words, such an encouragement for a leader of God. But what is his response to them? It says in verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. This was not in our scripture today, but we can read it now because it's important. Joshua says to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions for your sins. And so this comes as a tremendous challenge to the people of Israel, right? He responds and says, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, a jealous God. And this is important, though, because he is their leader, and he's coming to the end of his life, and he wants them to be sure that when he is no longer with them, that they will continue to live on in the truths that God has presented to them through him and the message that he has given to them. And so it's important that he says this, because it emphasizes the shortcoming of people of God to live up to their promises. Right? Joshua wants them to be sure that when he is no longer with them, they will serve the Lord. Right? And so the Bible is a very powerful word. Right? It's a very powerful means for us to be able to understand life. God did not write, and Joshua said, "Very good people. I'm so encouraged to hear that. Now you're on the right road. Now I can die." He knows his own shortcomings. He knows and recognizes his own sinfulness before God, that it's only for the grace of God that he is able to be their leader and to bring them into this promised land, and that they have been together there living as a people of God, experiencing the power of God in their lives. But his words are not just to receive what they say, but he reminds them again and reminds them with good reason that men and women fall short of the glory of God. God makes promises that he keeps, and there isn't one that he failed in keeping. But when we promise things, we often fall short. And we know that. And it's good and healthy for us to remind ourselves by reading these words of Joshua that we need to really be firm in our minds and our hearts of what it is that we are agreeing to do. And so it's a time for reflection, right? As people of God, as people who follow Jesus Christ, we are called in God's word to reflect on God's word for ourselves and to think, are we truly, truly receiving the words from God, taking them to heart and resolved in our hearts to follow him? How about us? Have we chosen the Lord in fear, sincerity, and faithfulness? Are we fearing the Lord? Are we sincere? And are we resolved in our faithfulness to serve him and serve him alone? I came across a funny story. It's a story, however, that has a very good meaning to it, that helps us to be able to see a little bit of the commitment and the resolve and the faithfulness to God that God is calling us to today. There was a story of a hen and a hog. And the hen and the hog were walking down this road, and they looked over and they saw a church. And in front of the church, there was a signboard. And on the signboard, it said, "Sermon for this Sunday. What can we do to help the poor?" And so the hen and the hog kept going, and they were talking about that sermon and the title of it. And they were thinking about, what can we do to help the poor? And the hen stops and looks at the hog and says, "I know what we can do to help the poor. Let's make them a breakfast of ham and eggs." And the hog stops and looks angrily at the hen and says, "Wait a minute. That's easy for you to say. For you, that's just a contribution. It's just a contribution for you. But for me, it's a life commitment, right?" So, you know, the hen was going to give the eggs and still had their life. It's easy for her to say, but the hog had to be killed to provide the ham that was going to be served to the poor. And so this story helps us in a way to consider ourselves, right? And also, what does it mean to follow God, to be serving the Lord? Right? And to serve him with gladness, to serve with all of our being, everything that we have, right? Are we willing to just give up eggs like the hen did, right? That's the easy way out. We can do that kind of a thing, but God calls for all of us, right? To reach deep within ourselves and sincerely ask, how can we make a difference in this world for the poor? How can we seriously make a difference serving God in the world around us? There's a great book on Joshua by a man named Dale Ralph Davies. And he shared about this subject, in talking about his pastoral ordination. And the ordination for a pastor means that he appears in front of the church and there are questions asked to them to affirm that they are willing to serve God as a pastor. And these are the words that he was called to affirm when he became a pastor. Do you engage to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your duties as a Christian and a minister of the gospel, whether personal or relational, private or public, and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your manner of life, and to walk with exemplary piety before the flock of which God shall make you overseer? Now he said, nobody can say, yes, I will fulfill those words and that challenge and that charge that was given to him, because we're all sinful, right? We're sinners before God, and we know that. But he said there's only one part of this call to be a pastor that he could, that helped him to affirm it. And it was these words, by the grace of God. He said, by the grace of God, do you promise to do these things? And it is by the grace of God that we can accept the challenges to serve God, right? And to serve him only in this world, because we know that we're going to fall into sin. We know that we're going to break our promises to God, but his grace is sufficient for us. Amen. And so we go gladly into these things, not fearing life or our failure, because we know that that's eventually going to come. But we grasp on to the hand of God and we say, Lord, because of your great grace and your love for me, I know who I serve and I want to serve you only. And God will reward us for that. We have a wonderful, wonderful God. So how do we stand before God? Are we basing our commitment to God on saying, when we get good enough, we'll serve? Are we basing our commitment to serve God on how much we know? When I know more, I'll be ready to serve. When things get better in the church, I've been disappointed. I've seen, you know, things happen that are disappointing in the church. When the church gets its act together, you know, I'll serve. Or is it by the grace of God? By the fear of the Lord and sincerity and faithfulness, learn from others that I will serve the Lord. Let it be so, brothers and sisters. By the grace of God, I come forward, Lord, and I serve in whatever capacity you call me to serve. I give my life to you, knowing, Lord, that I am a sinful person without holiness, but you are calling me to a holy life, and only by your grace, Lord, and by your strength and by your help, I will take it on. God will bless you for that. Where do we stand, brothers and sisters? Think about your life today and ask the question, whom do I choose? Whom do I choose? Is my life one where I have been given choices and I often choose the worldly way? I have a choice to be involved in church, to worship God, but I choose another way in that time because something else came up that was more appealing. Right? When God comes and sends a representative for the church for you to serve in some aspect or some way, you say, one of the things that I just listed there instead. You know, we need to have faith that God can work in any kind of a situation. Bichan and I were reading in the book of Matthew today in chapter 16, where Jesus was speaking with Peter and saying, nothing can stop this church that is going to be built on the faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing. And so as people of God in Grace Church, we need to believe that. We do not base the things that we serve in the church on human failure. We base it on the victory and the power of Jesus Christ and his mighty cross. We base all of our thinking and we formulate all of our thoughts as Christians, not on the things that disappoint us or are lacking in things, because that is the very reason that God has chosen us. When he sees in a heart that someone is humble and willing to serve, knowing he knows and we know that we cannot possibly match those kind of requirements. But with him who is faithful, we can do all things. And that is the attitude of a servant. Today, brothers and sisters, think about your church, our church, Grace Church, the Church of Christ, and ask, am I ready to serve the Lord? Let the answer be yes. I'm ready to serve the Lord, not because of my strengths, not because of what I can do. I know that there are problems. I know that there's always going to be problems because all of us are broken people. But Jesus is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And my eyes are fixed on him. And his grace will see me through. We have a beautiful psalm today. In our call to worship, you can read through the whole psalm. Let me give you just some reflections on this very briefly as we come to a close. Psalm 84 describes beautifully and movingly a man who loves serving God. In fact, he loves the Lord. He would rather be a doorman in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. His soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. His heart and flesh sing joy to the living God. And the result is blessing. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, Lord, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. The Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Do you hear the passion? Do you hear the servant heart? Do you hear the commitment? There isn't any trace of anything negative about God's temple, about God's church, about the things that we are called to do. There's nowhere else that he would rather be. There's nowhere else that he would rather serve. He's willing to take the lowest position in the church because he knows that that position, even though it's a low one, is much, much greater than the highest position in the world of wickedness that is around us. That is the passion that we need to have for God. That is what God is teaching us in the Psalms. That is the example of the faith that is going to spur us on, just like Joshua to say, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. You can go and waste all of your time on worthless things and worthless gods, but I am telling you that God is real and he's proved it to me. And as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Will you join me? Amen. Let us today proclaim in the loving devotion of the Psalms, for the grace of God, I will serve the Lord. Joshua's words, the world can have its worthless gods, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.